You're listening to the Liberty Grace Church Sermon Podcast. For more information, visit libertygrace.ca.
Well, it's not hard to understand events, even important events. What's really hard is to understand what they mean. For instance, earlier this year, we heard of the virus that began in Wuhan. And this was not new news. December the 31st, it was revealed to the World Health Organization. And a lot of us knew at the very beginning of the year. And I had friends asking me, how's this going to impact Liberty Grace? And I said, don't worry. You know, it's not going to affect us at all, or it has not, at least not yet. Now, a lot of us knew it was going to come in some form, but only a few of us really understood its meaning. Only a few of us were able to understand exactly how it was going to influence society. And so even Anthony, Fauci, however you say it, in the States, who advises the president, he was asked in January about it, and he said, oh, it's so extreme to lock down a whole city or province in Wuhan, China. He had no idea, even he had no idea, that it would be all of us locked down. So, you know, it's easy to understand events, but the meaning and what the implications of those events, that's a very different thing to understand. And it's a little like that with what we're talking about today. It's actually not hard to understand the resurrection. The passage that we just read, two guys walking to Emmaus on the resurrection Sunday, and they do a really good job of highlighting the events. And it's not that hard to understand. So in verses 19 to 25, basically they say this: Jesus of Nazareth was known as a prophet for what he did and said. The chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned, and they crucified him. That's what we celebrated on Friday. This disappointed a lot of people who were hoping that Jesus would save Israel. So people were crushed. They expected Jesus would be the savior that was going to rescue Israel. And on the Sunday after Jesus was killed, women found an empty tomb and saw angels who told them that Jesus was alive. And others, well, they thought that the women were crazy, and so they went to verify the story, and they discovered that the tomb was empty just as the women had said. Now, these are the bare facts. No matter who you are, believer or skeptic, most people agree that these are the facts that happened. I mean, there's some atheists and agnostics or skeptics out there that would doubt that, but generally speaking, even unbelievers would say these seem to be the facts, that Jesus was a great man, that he was killed, he was literally killed, he existed in history, that a lot of people were disappointed, that they found an empty tomb. These are the facts. These are just things that most people seem to understand. The historic evidence is there, so I encourage you to look at that. If you're questioning whether this is history, there's actually little historical doubt that these things happened, whether you're a believer or not. So those are, I mean, it's easy to understand this. The trick is, what is the meaning of all this? And the story we just read leads us through three possible reactions to these bare facts and the conclusions that we can make to this. So here's the first one. I think all three of us are going to be in one of these three reactions. We see them all in the story. And the first one is this: simply not understanding. This is where things start out in the passage that was just read to us. These two men are walking to Emmaus, a village 7 miles from Jerusalem. And as they're walking, they're trying to make sense of the events that took place that I just mentioned, because it seemed to make no sense at all. And there's a lot of people who are maybe in this position of not really understanding what Easter is all about. Now, some of you might be in this boat. In fact, if you are in this boat, we're so glad you're part of this call. We welcome you. This is a church where it's safe for you to come and ask your questions. So we're not a church that says, hey, get out of here, there's no room for doubters or skeptics. It might be that you doubt that these events even happened. That's not what the two people in this story experienced, but it might be what some of you are facing today. Now, if that's you, I encourage you, as we said, to look at the historic evidence. The vacant tomb of Jesus is a historic reality, and it's very hard to discount. And so I encourage you, take an honest look. I think you'll discover that there's no need to be confused about the actual facts. So investigate them. Don't check your brain at the door. Really look into these facts and discover whether they're true or not. But that's not the confusion these two men in the story faced. They faced another kind of confusion, which is this. They had a hard time figuring out what the meaning of this was. They didn't understand how the Jesus' death and the empty tomb fit into their understanding of the biblical story. They were disappointed. They couldn't figure out, like, how does this make sense? How is this good news for the world? They expected Jesus to save Israel. They had no idea that he would be killed, and they didn't understand how this would fit into what God was going to do. And even though they'd heard about the empty tomb, they didn't have a category for that. It's interesting in the text, you notice they were leaving Jerusalem. They were not sticking around with any kind of hope. If they had hope that Jesus was risen from the dead, I don't know about you, but I would have stayed in Jerusalem. I would have wanted to find out more. But they were leaving because they had no idea that something world-changing had happened. They were going home, and on this seven-mile road, they were talking and discussing. They were trying to make sense of what happened. And verse 17 even says they look sad. This was something that had really hit them. They had high hopes for Jesus, but their hopes had been crushed. And even though they'd heard about the empty tomb, they weren't ready to believe that Jesus was alive again. They had doubts, and they couldn't make sense of it all. And friends, I'm so glad you're in this call today. The reality is we're filled with people in this category who can't make sense of the Easter story. And there might even be some of you on this call who are in this category or who are saying, I don't understand. Like, I know the facts of Jesus. I understand that there was an empty grave. I just don't understand what this means for me. Or maybe you have doubts about them. And in this passage, you see the early disciples fell into that category. Maybe this story doesn't make sense to you. Well, if that's you, I'm so glad you're here. This church was built for people like you. Easter is perfect for people like you. And my encouragement to you would be to investigate further, to look at the Gospels, to look at books like The Case for Christ. There's so many others. I encourage you to investigate further. I read books on both sides and look at the evidence because it really is worth investigating. So that's one way to respond to the story of Jesus. And it's actually where the two people in the story began. We all start here. Christianity welcomes skeptics and doubters. Christianity, if you read Luke 24, even the disciples of Jesus began as skeptics and doubters. And Jesus opens his arms and says, welcome. I encourage you to start here, but I encourage you not to stop here. It is not the best option of the three I'm going to talk about today. So that's one way to respond to the Easter story, which is not really understanding. Here's a better option, and I encourage you to move. This isn't the best option, but it's a better one than option number one. Here's option two as you read the story. And it's to understand the storyline. So a strange thing happens in the story. These two men started out not understanding what had happened to Jesus. And it's interesting that Jesus himself shows up to explain things to them. And in verses 25 to 27, we read, and this is kind of funny because this is Jesus himself. They're talking about Jesus. And Jesus shows up and begins to talk to them. And he says, "O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that Christ, the Christ, should suffer all these things and enter into his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Man, that's one conversation I would have loved to have heard. You should recognize this graphic by now. We've been looking at the story of the Bible over 7 weeks. And, we began with the world being glorious but broken. And then we went to Genesis 12, to God's plan to rescue the world, to redeem the world through one man, Abraham. And then he founded a nation. We talked about the third image, which was him calling a nation Israel through Abraham, the descendants of Abraham, and they became a nation, and how God raised them up and delivered them from Egypt and gave them the land and gave them a kingship. And then the fourth icon, we learned that although things were good for a while, Israel blew it. And most of the story is Israel being in a state of sin and eventually being in exile. We see the next icon, which is broken walls. We read the tragic story of Jerusalem being broken down and the people sent into exile. This is a story of Scripture. And as these men were walking, Jesus really unpacks all of that to them. Man, I mean, there are a lot of stories in the Bible, a lot of moments in the Bible I would like to have witnessed, but this would have been in the top three for me. Can you imagine Jesus walking you through the whole story of the Bible and explaining how it all is about him? It would have been incredible. And so this is really what we've been doing as a church. We've been looking at this, and Jesus did a much better job than I've been doing and our guest speakers have been doing at tying it all together and pointing out how he is a fulfillment of all of this. And friends, I want you to see here, this is a second reaction that we can have to the Easter story. Over our lives, we can read Scripture and reread it again and get to know how it all weaves together, how all the themes converge in Christ. I mean, here in this passage, Jesus says, the whole Bible from start to finish is about him. The whole storyline, indeed all of history, converges in Jesus Christ. Every page of the Bible is about him. Not just the explicit prophecies, but so much more. The historical patterns, the promises, the symbols, the blessings, the curses, the pictures of salvation, the shadows and the types, the ceremonies, all of them point to Jesus. He's on every page of Scripture. I imagine what Jesus might have said that day. He might have talked about Abraham, who led his son up to Mount Moriah to die, just as God led his one and only son up to the same mountain to die, to give his life for us. He might have talked about the Passover, about how that lamb that was slain every Passover that our Jewish friends are celebrating this weekend really points to Jesus, the true Passover lamb. He might have talked about that rock that Moses struck in the desert as a picture of what happened when Jesus was struck in judgment on behalf of his people on the cross. He might have talked about the serpent, about how the people were bitten by snakes and those who looked at the serpent on the pole lifted up in the wilderness lived, and how this was a picture of those who look upon Jesus live. He might have talked about David's victory over Goliath as a signpost pointing to Jesus' victory. Just as David won the victory over Goliath, that Jesus won our victory as our representative over death and sin. Every page, all the ceremonies, the greatest of kings, the stories, the psalms, the prophecies, all of them point to him. The Bible Project puts it this way, that all of Scripture points to a king who would suffer and die on behalf of us as rebels. And then he would be vindicated by his resurrection and give life to all those who want to receive it. I love how Sally Lloyd-Jones puts it. Every story in the Bible whispers his name. He is like the missing piece in a puzzle, the piece that makes all the other pieces fit together. And suddenly you can see a beautiful picture. This is a much better stage than the first stage of not understanding. I hope that as we've been going through this series, if you've been part of this series, or even if you haven't, I hope that you're seeing how the story fits together and how Jesus is the ultimate answer. He's the culmination to all of Scripture through whom God rescues the world. Every week as a church, we open up the Bible and we say, friends, this is the story. This is what Jesus has done for you. This is your story. This is not just Jesus' story. This is a story of all of humanity. It's your story. And our goal as a church is that we would relocate ourselves in this bigger story, the story of what Jesus is doing in rescuing this broken world through the resurrected Jesus. Okay, so this is the second option. I think you'll agree. We welcome those of you who are skeptics, but our hope is actually that you go a step further. My hope for all of you is that you get to this next stage of seeing the storyline of Scripture and understanding the good news of the resurrection, that Jesus Christ rose from the grave, and it's really what all of Scripture talks about. It's a fulfillment of all God's promises. But even this stage is not the best stage. I want you to go one more step in this story. I want you to find a different place, a different option to respond to the resurrection story. And here's the third option that we see in this passage. Open eyes. So these two men are walking, and Jesus is explaining to them how, you know, they started out confused, and then Jesus explains to them how the story fits together. But they're still walking, and they don't understand who they're talking to. We read that their eyes were kept from recognizing him. One of my friends is a member, a serious scholar. He teaches Bible at Regent College in Vancouver. And he talks about going to the Society of Biblical Literature, which is basically a whole bunch of Bible geeks who get together and they write papers. And it sounds like a lot of fun. So they just go and they talk about the Bible and they write papers. And one day a woman comes in, a woman who read that this group was meeting. And she came in because she was in crisis and she had questions about God. Unfortunately, my friend met her, and even though he's a serious biblical scholar, he's also a very devoted Christian. And in the hallway there, he talked to her about Jesus Christ and led her eyes to be open to who Jesus is. But it's interesting, he says that most of the scholars, probably 80% of the scholars there, delivering papers on the Bible, they understood how the story all fit together, but 80% of them didn't have their eyes opened to who Jesus really is. They understood the storyline, but they still didn't know Jesus. And that's what happened with these men. As Jesus talked to them, they understood the storyline. I mean, how could you not with Jesus preaching like that? But we read in verse 16 that they still didn't recognize him at the beginning, and they still didn't recognize him all the way through the story. But in verse 30 to 31, it says this. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And get this, and their eyes were opened and they recognized him and he vanished from their sight. I love that. They went from being confused to understanding the storyline, but they went a step further and their eyes were actually opened. And they saw Jesus in all his beauty and glory, the risen Jesus, and their eyes were opened to see him. Friends, it's one thing to know about Jesus. It's even another thing to understand how all the pieces fit together. It's okay to have the evidence to be able to even win arguments. That's important as a prerequisite to evangelism, to understanding the facts of the gospel. But at some point, you need to see Jesus. At some point, you need your eyes to be opened and to look upon him, not just as a historical figure, but as a living, risen Jesus, the object of your affection and faith and trust. It's necessary for you to not just understand, but to believe and to see. And that's what happened to these two. They stopped being confused. And they understood the storyline, how all things fit together. And their eyes were open so that they recognized Jesus themselves. And the result is they went right back to Jerusalem. They regained their hope. They met with the disciples. And their lives were changed. That's what happened to me. I went to church. I kept hearing the stories about Jesus. I understood the storyline as best as a four-year-old could. And one day, though, my eyes were opened, and these things that were facts all of a sudden began to become real to me. My eyes were opened, and I saw Jesus. It's what's happened to many of us who are on the Zoom call, and it's what I want all of you to experience. The song we sing sometimes, Charles Wesley wrote, and it says this: long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. A picture of him being in a dark dungeon. This was written hundreds of years ago. So this isn't like a modern jail. This is like an old, like hundreds of year old dungeon. And this is what he says. He's picturing his spiritual condition. Thine eye, speaking of Jesus, diffused a quickening ray. I woke, and the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. My chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. That's what I want for all of you as well. Man, this is a strange Easter Sunday. Strangest one by far I've experienced in my whole life. This world is a mess right now. I think all of us are struggling in different ways. But friends, today, in the middle of this struggle, in the middle of this coronavirus, we also have an opportunity. Today is the day that you can get clarity on the story of Jesus, the story of the Bible, a unified story that includes you, the story of God, the story of the world, the story of God's answer to the human predicament. If you understand this story, you will understand who you are, and it will give your life hope and meaning. We need this more than ever. But I want you to go a step farther. My goal today is that you would not only understand the storyline of Scripture, my prayer for you today is that you would see Jesus. You see, I believe that the Savior who is at the center of all of Scripture, the Savior who right now is holding the whole world together, the one who created you and everything, is somehow even present in this Zoom call and is ready to open the eyes of anyone who cries out to him so that you will not only understand the storyline, but see and recognize him and meet him personally, experience his forgiveness, and have your life transformed. Would you please pray with me? If you're in the first category today, you don't necessarily understand or accept what the Bible says about Jesus. As I said, I'm so glad you're here, and I really encourage you to investigate more. In fact, you can even pray right now if you're willing to do so. Lord, would you, if you're real, would you reveal yourself to me? Lord, if you're real, would you lead me? Would you help me discover you? It's one of the most important things that you can do, and he stands by ready to help you. So if you're willing, if you're just investigating today, maybe you'll be brave enough to even pray for God's help if he's there to aid you in that search, that if he's real, he would reveal himself to you. But there's a lot of people who understand the story of Jesus, but maybe have never had their eyes truly opened. They've never had their lives transformed. My prayer for you today is that you would go farther than just understanding. And I invite you to pray right now, asking him to open your eyes. In the words of the song that we just read, would you pray that his eye would diffuse a quickening ray to you, that you would awake and your dungeon would flame with light, the chains would fall off and your heart would be free, that you'll rise up and go forth and follow him. Turn to the risen Savior and ask him to open your eyes right now, because he awaits with open arms to receive you. The Bible promises that we will seek him. We will find him if we seek him. So seek him He promises that if we seek him, we'll find him. Friends, today, if your eyes have been opened, then join with me in this prayer of praise from Revelation 5. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. Amen.